Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
Good morning, Every Nation New York.
Good morning.
It's so good to be with you all this morning. Good to be in the Big Apple. I'm a what some people say, a country boy from Virginia. I was raised in a town with one stoplight, Ivor, Virginia. And there are some people in the house that know exactly where Ivor is. I have some cousins in the house here, right here in the middle. Can y'all show them some love for being in this place as well? And they live in New York. And also, the closest blood folk I can have to me outside of my kids are my brother and my sister-in-law. They're in the back. Can y'all just wave y'all hand real quick? My brother Wesley and my sister Crystal. And so glad that they live out on the island, Long Island. And when I was coming to their estate, they was like, well, we got to be there. And then my lovely wife, Sherelle, right here as well. Can y'all show her some love as well? Awesome, awesome. And I echo everything Pastor Ron said and about him and Lynette Lewis. They're just amazing power couple. Me and Sherelle, we love the opportunity to kind of operate in their shadow and what God is doing in their lives. And they freely just empower and give in so many ways. And so I'm grateful for their leadership, all the leadership in this house. I believe there's a word from the Lord, so I want to get to that now. I like to preach, and that's what I've been tasked to do. And you guys are in a series called "Living Among Lions." Am I correct? Living Among Lions, and it's talking about the book of Daniel. And I am going to be in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, and we're going to be reading in starting at verse 7, and we're going to read from verse 7 to verse 20. I'm just going to read it all the way through. Verse 7 to verse 20, I believe, it'll be in the ESV on the screen and whatever version you have as well. Daniel chapter 6, starting at verse 7. It says, all the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked, Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Verse 12 says, then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, just like some tattletales, you see, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of the lions. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of the lions. The king declared to Daniel, and hear this, he said, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. Yes. And the stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. I'm going to keep on reading, but have you ever been at a place where you felt like it was sealed and you felt like nothing would change? Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions or even no food were brought to him, and slept and sleep fled from him. He had a sleepless night. Then at the break of day, the king arose, went in haste, and ran to the den of the lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" I think that question that King Darius asked right there is going to be the premise of a lot of what we're going to focus on this morning. The king ran and asked the question, has your God, whom you continually serve, has he been able to deliver you from the lions? With that, for a title, topic, subject of focus this morning, while I'm with you all, I will use this topic here simply saying, God did it. God did it. Look at your neighbor and tell them, God did it.
God did it.
Look at somebody else and say, won't he do it? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity and this space here. God, we pray now, Lord, while we are in this place, God, we believe that your presence has already been ushered in here. Yeah. And so, God, we embrace your presence. May we receive all of what you have for us today. Lord, may you do a work in our hearts that cannot be done anywhere else. It cannot be done at a bar. It cannot be done with a drug. It cannot be done with any sexual escapades. It cannot be done through a movie, a Netflix binge, or anything else. God, I pray in this moment that you will renew our minds, renew our hearts, Lord, and transform us. Many of us are here from various different backgrounds and different points of life, but we come to this common ground. We all need you. And so, Lord, I pray in this moment, God, that you would do a work in us. And even as I preach, I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart shall be acceptable in your sight. If people don't remember who Chris Johnson is, may they remember that Christ Jesus is their Savior. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so as we come to Daniel chapter 6, I know you guys have been in the book of Daniel. If you've been here or either been listening along, Daniel is a very unique book. And Daniel chapter 6 houses one of the famous Sunday school Bible stories about Daniel in the lion's den. But I would suggest to you this morning that it is so much more than just Daniel in the lion's den in Daniel chapter 6. As I look at Daniel chapter 6, I recognize that there are three questions that will help us navigate this text. Three questions will be answered, I pray, by the end of this, that will help us navigate this text and will help us be able to understand what's happening. These three questions that I want to give to you. One, is God real? Is God real? That's question number one. And you'll see these questions that kind of come out through King Darius. Is God real? Number two. Not only is that the question, is God real? Now, if he is real, is he able? Is he able to do anything about my situation? One, is God real? Two, is he able? If he's real, is he able? Because some people believe in him, but they don't believe he's able. And so question number two, is he able? But then question number three, not only is he real, not only is he able, but does he care? See, it's one thing if he's real and he's able, but he doesn't care. That means he has power, but it's just not allotted to you. And so we're going to look at Daniel chapter 6, kind of navigating through these questions here. And there are many characters in this book. There are some haters, but we're not going to talk about them too much because all of us got enough of them, right? Amen. But we're going to look at Daniel, Darius, and God. And when you look at these three characters, it's going to help us answer those three questions. Daniel, Darius, and God. Daniel, Darius, and God. Now, Daniel is the focal character in this text. Now, Daniel, at this point, he's not a young man anymore. He was young in Daniel chapter 1 when he called a fast. And the Daniel fast, that's where it was introduced. He went on this vegetarian thing, ate fruits and vegetables, and he came out, looked like he did P90X. They said that he was all ripped, he was cut, he was fine, and he was wise. Ladies, I'm telling you, a man that's fasting is who you want. All right. And so Daniel fasts, and then he had three friends, and I know we're in a multi-ethnic setting. His three friends were Meshach, Shadrach, and a bad Negro. I don't know if y'all heard about him. It was a Bendigo. And then Daniel chapter 3, And so in Daniel chapter 3, we find that they go through the fiery furnace and they come out. Nothing has been singed and they just feeling fine. They crip walk all through the fire. It was amazing. And so then as we go through Daniel, you have these prophetic words and Daniel chapter 5, this writing on the wall happened, and Daniel was the only one able to interpret it. And so he prophesies about that. Daniel also has these visions. But then in Daniel chapter 6, it kind of just is a regular day at the office. It kind of just takes a year. Like, it's no real fancy stuff, but I love God doesn't deal with boring moments long. He knows how to make life exciting. And so here it is, a regular day at the office. Daniel, he's climbing the Babylonian corporate ladder. I mean, he's getting promotion after promotion. The dude has it going on. He is an exile or either a slave in this land and still succeeding. I want to help somebody right there. That just because your situation might not be favorable to you doesn't mean you can't be favored in your situation. So while Daniel is an exile there, he didn't allow his situation to determine his success. See, I buck against the whole sociological, psychological thought that you are a product of your environment. I believe that as a child of God, we're not meant to be products of environment. We're meant to be changers of an environment. I'm not meant to be a thermometer. I'm meant to be a thermostat. That if the situation needs peace, the God of peace is already with me. And so therefore, when we find Daniel in exile, he's in a situation that does not determine his success, but he determines how his situation looks at God. See, when I look at this, these three questions that I mentioned in the beginning, is God real? Is he able? And does he care? Now, you all came from many different walks of life. Many of you all came from different thoughts and different philosophies. And those three questions that we're introducing now, they existed then because people had many little G gods, but they weren't sure about this big G God that had delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. They had heard about him. They heard about this promise over Jerusalem. And that question was there, is God real? In a very academic setting that we have in our culture, in a very liberal setting, people are willing to say that there is a God. It's just, I don't know if there is one God. There is many gods. I don't know if you ever met somebody or you might be in this category, that some people are just spiritual. They just spiritual. It's not, they don't really land anywhere. They just know it's something. There's a man upstairs, or there's somebody that just looks out for you or punishes you. And some people just kind of get caught in that. And Daniel was in a land that lived in that thought. He was in a land that lived in a thought that was not about one God, but about many gods. It could be a sun god, a fertility god. It could be all these types of gods. It could be a god of pancakes, as far as I know. It could be just any god that can give you some type of temporary peace or make something happen. And that's the setting that he was in. I believe that we are in that setting too, because we have gods of jobs. We have gods of money. We have gods of sexual desire. We have gods of substances. We have gods of you name it, and we turn to all of these things in search of, is there one God that's real? Right. Amen. And so back to Daniel. He's climbing the Babylonian corporate ladder, and what I find is Daniel, he is distinguished. He is also despised, and he is also devoted. Daniel, he is distinguished. In verse 1 of chapter 6, it says that Daniel, as he's climbing the corporate ladder, in verse 3, it says that Daniel distinguished himself. Daniel distinguished himself above all the other administrative satraps because of an extraordinary, or either because of an excellent spirit within him. When we talk about Daniel distinguished himself, this is the same excellent spirit that was on Daniel in Daniel chapter 1. An excellent spirit is a countenance that's on the inside. It's not about your education level. It's not about your ethnic background. It's not about your socioeconomic status. It means that you are connected to something that's greater than you. And so Daniel had this excellent spirit. It was an aura. Have you ever been around some people that they just make you smile because they walk in the room? They just so nice. You just want to get a hug from them, or you just want to sit by them. That's an excellent spirit. It's like somebody wearing a nice smell of cologne. You don't want to buy the cologne. You just want to rub up against them just to get a little bit of it. And Daniel had an excellent spirit. He distinguished himself. What I find is that when you are in situations, circumstances, whether you like it or not, you have an opportunity to distinguish yourself, not through arrogance, but through humility. Daniel had a rare blend of professionalism and piety. He had a rare blend of professionalism, productivity, and piety. What I mean by this, professionalism. Oftentimes, people who are Christian and believe in God think that we can hang our professionalism up because we got faith. Let me come down. Let me come down. Yeah, let me come down your subway real quick because I'm in New York. Y'all see what I did? Anyway. We think because we are believers. Now, if you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, that's fine. Just hang in there for a second. I'm going to talk about Darius, and you can get in a boat with him. But for the believers, for the believers. Now, we think because we are Christians, we can show up to work late, and when they convict us or when they confront us, we just say, listen, I was praying this morning, okay? And as a matter of fact, Jesus is my judge. And you, the only power you have is the power he gave you. All of a sudden, we quote scriptures and it's all weird and it's wrong. No. Because you are a believer means that you should operate in a higher level of excellence. The way I look at it, the ones who believe in Jesus should be the ones that should be the best stewards over their finances, should be places when they're supposed to be there, should have the highest level of integrity, should have the highest level of stewardship over their bodies, because we recognize who created us, and everything we do, we want to please him. So Daniel had professionalism. I mean, he showed up. He looked like he was ready for the job. Not only that, but he also had productivity, because you could look like Tarzan and play like Jane. That's what we would say when I played football. You could be all muscular and then get on the field and do nothing. It's not enough to look professional. I'm just trying to help you all real quick. I'm gonna inspire you in a second. It's not just enough to have the look, but you also got to have a track record of productivity. What separated Daniel was not that he walked around quoting all of the books of Moses, and he didn't walk around with the Ten Commandments on a medallion and saying, look at me, I'm a child of Israel, a seed of Abraham. Yes, I am a promised one. That's not what distinguished him. What distinguished him was the same thing that distinguished Joseph in the book of Genesis. Wherever he went, something good happened. Sometimes your promotion is not based on secular means. It's based on God giving you favor in the secular realm so that whatever you touch, it begins to show God's favor. I remember this dude, Pharaoh, looked at Joseph and he said, everything Joseph touched, it seems that it succeeds. He says, how about this? I'm going to put him over my whole house. Pharaoh was smart. When you're around somebody who's a believer and completely depends on God, God will set them in a situation and God will move through them. That's what's happening with Daniel. Professionalism, productivity. You can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. I remember, I don't want to get too much in this testimony, but I remember as a young believer, I was working on my college campus, and I graduated, and they literally came and gave me a job. They was like, you know, Chris Bob Johnson, my nickname was Bob. Don't worry about it, long story. And they said, we want you on campus. You are a strong believer. You've been leading Bible studies. You influence the students. The Office of Student Affairs would love to give you a resident director position. Here you go. And I was like, great. They're paying my room and board. I get to run Bible study. People are getting saved. This ministry is booming. And here's all of this good stuff is happening. And I forgot to do my job. I didn't know until they called me and gave me an option to either resign or either be fired. And so after I resigned, right, I recognized. But the thing that really got me was one lady sat in front of me in the office in my exit interview. And she said this to me. She said, you say that you're a man of God, but I don't see it. Now, I almost lost my religion. Right? But at the same time, what she was saying, you can do all the religious stuff, but what I'm looking for is there a track record of productivity and stewardship. And when she said that, I said, huh, so my faith is not in me just quoting scripture. It's in me doing everything as unto God. People will follow Jesus much better when you follow him better. And so Daniel had this unique blend, professionalism, productivity, and piety. This dude was devoted to God. And so in the story, you read it, we read it. There was the haters looked at Daniel. They were mad because this foreigner, he's taking my position. You ever find people, they just hate on you because they think what you got is their blessing? As if you intercepted their blessing from God. And so the haters, they came and they said, well, look, the only way we can find something against Daniel, if we find something in the law and his devotion towards God. So they despised Daniel. And let me tell you this. When you are walking with the Lord, you will look good. I want to help somebody who woke up this morning feeling ugly. Like, if you woke up this morning, you didn't think you looked too well. But if you're walking with the Lord, it's not about the outward appearance. You have a glow, an aura that says you're connected with the Creator. Understand, success is attractive, but it doesn't just attract supporters. It also attracts snakes. Now, I'm pretty sure you guys should be aware of these things, but I'm just reminding you. That as Daniel is succeeding, there's other people that are plotting on him. And as other people are plotting on him, what they're doing, they're saying, we got to find a way to take him down. Every good leader, every good person, you still have a target on your back. Following the Lord Jesus does not exempt you from attack. Actually, it qualifies you for it. Yeah. And so Daniel, he's living his life, doing his thing, and people start hating on him. So they made a law. They said, if anybody prays to any other god or man other than King Darius, they should be thrown in the lion's den. They could have thought about many other punishments. They wanted to kill Daniel because they knew everybody else around him were compromisers. Until you're willing to die for something, I'm going to question if you really believe in it. Until you're willing to stand or either sit on the chair, I'm going to question if you believe if that chair can hold you. Daniel has such a faith that when he heard about the rule that had been signed, that if anybody prayed to any other god or man other than King Darius, what did Daniel do in verse 10? He left the meeting. This is gangster. This boy Daniel is bad. And here's the thing. He's an old man. Some scholars would suggest he's about 80. But Daniel still has some zeal in him. So Daniel walked out with that slow, cool, like I've been around for a while swag. Ain't in no rush. They ended a meeting. Anybody who prays to any other god, da-da-da-da, shall be thrown in the lion's den. And Daniel looked at his clock because he prayed every day already three times. And he prayed at 9 a.m., 12 noon, and 3 p.m. And Daniel, he recognized, he says, look, man, this meeting over because I got to go pray. Daniel walks out the meeting in verse 10, walks out the meeting. This is crazy. The board meeting ends. The board meeting just ended. I think about it like this. Let me think about it from a parental perspective. I could tell my child, I got two kids. I got Chloe and Chip, 5 and 2. It's like I could tell my kids, don't do this. And as soon as I tell them, don't do this, it's as if it's like a bird just came and swooped the words I just gave them and took them away. And 5 minutes later, they do it. And I kind of feel like that's how they looked at Daniel. Didn't we just tell you? You could have at least waited a day. That's the part that gets me. Daniel was immediate about. I don't want you to trip. I don't want you to think that you got me or anything. You don't control me. Listen, are we finished or are we done? Right? And so Daniel leaves. Daniel leaves and then opens the window, drops to his knees, and prays to God three times. His haters come. The other satraps, prefects, and those folks, they fancy words for other delegates. They come and they look. Yeah, he show it. Hey man, take a Snapchat this. Yeah, put that on my Instagram story. Mm-hmm. Hashtag Lion's Dinner. Yep. There you go, Daniel. So Daniel prays three times, and he prays three times because he's completely devoted to God. The part that messes with me is why is it that Daniel, knowing the punishment, would still do this? If he knows the punishment is he's going to be thrown in the lion's den with Simba, Mufasa, and Nyla. these lions are kept in a cave and fed sparingly so that whatever enters the cave or the pit will be eaten. Daniel knows about all of this, and he knows the punishment. So why does he still go and break the law? Why does he still go and pray to God? Because he feared God more than he feared the lions. Hey, and when I look at what Daniel prayed, Daniel did not pray, "Lord, deliver me." Daniel gave thanks. See, that's the time. Come on, I'm again. Hey. Daniel knew God was good for whatever was about to happen. So when he went and prayed, he says, "God, I thank you. You're still good. God, you are great and worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun till the going down of the same." He didn't ask to be rescued. He just gave reverence to the one who was worthy. I'm trying to help somebody's prayer life this morning. That oftentimes we're asking God to move versus just recognizing who he is. Because Daniel knew God was real. Daniel knew God was able. And he knew God cared. And so here it is. Daniel prays. "God, I give thanks." He prays towards Jerusalem while he's in exile. Him looking at Jerusalem, he's saying, "I ain't worried about these other gods and these other kings." He's looking and he's fixing his eyes on the one who matters most. And so Daniel prays and he prays, and they watched him and they watched him and they watched him three times. And three times Daniel prayed. They could set their clock around Daniel's prayer life. There's something significant I want to impart into you. In my trip to New York, I want to leave this, that having a devoted life to God has benefits you could never imagine. Having a reading your Bible consistently, praying consistently, fasting consistently, coming to corporate worship consistently, it will change your life. It'll prepare you to go into the lion's den before they ever threaten you with it. You don't have to go and start praying because there's a situation that started. This is what you already do. So Daniel prayed three times. I got to tell you this part of my testimony. So in the midst of me trying to discern what God wanted to do with my life, I was a young, zealous Christian, and I was coming up, about to graduate from college, and I began to pray three times a day. Part of it was I would mess up a lot, and I needed to find a way to come back to Jesus. And when I read the scripture, it says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace that you might receive mercy and help." I said, "Lord, I need some mercy. Lord, I need some help." And so I said, "Lord, I got to come back to you," because after I would sin, whatever that sin would be, I would be afraid to go to God and ashamed. Has anybody ever been in that situation? You know you done messed up, and so you're just going to ignore prayer and be like, "Let's pray." I don't know how God feel about me right now. So if I pray, he might strike me down. I don't want that. I remember going through this moment. I started fasting, and every eighth hour I would pray. This set a pattern of my life that I'm still reaping the benefits from today. For 8 months or so, I pray every eighth hour. Eight, biblical numerology, is the number of new beginning. And I said, "Lord, I need a new beginning in my life." And I pray every eighth hour. I pray 5 a.m., and that was torture. I pray 1 p.m., that was cool, just awkward in the lunchroom. In college, you know, people be talking and dudes like, "Yeah, man, you know what I'm saying? I was with her last night, 1 o'clock. Hey, y'all ready to pray? Come on. Father, I pray that you forgive them and give them, in Jesus' name, amen. So I would pray 5 a.m., 1 p.m., and then I will also pray at 9 p.m. And here's the thing. 5 a.m., I recognize I have to start my morning off right, because sometimes at night, I was a Christian, but I still was messing up. Anybody know how that is? I was a Christian, but I was still messing up. Anybody know how that is? Yes. Understand, confessing Christian does not mean confessing perfection. It just means I need more work, and I recognize the one who can work on me. Yeah. Right? And so 5 a.m., I would get up and pray, and I would roll over. "God, help me." And Jesus, "Lord, I pray, help me." You ever be so sleepy, you pray the same thing over and over? I remember one time I was so asleep, I was praying. I prayed for a clown and some blue balloons. I don't know what was up, "Lord, and the clowns with the blue balloons." Then I looked around like somebody else was, I'm tripping. All right, and so I would pray at 5 a.m. All jokes aside, 5 a.m., I would pray, help me start my day off. 1 p.m., remind me in the middle of the day that God was with me. 9 p.m., God covered me throughout the night. And I kept on praying, I kept on praying. I kept on praying, I kept on fasting. And every Thursday, I would fast. I would fast from 12:01 midnight that night before to midnight the next day. It was 24 hours. I would fast, and I would pray at 9 o'clock. I pray at 9 p.m. Some friends were over my house. And I'm just telling you the power of devotion. Some friends were over my apartment. And 9 o'clock came around. When 9 o'clock came around, my alarm went off. I went to my friend. And my friend, he was a very charismatic guy, was raised in the Church of God in Christ. If you don't know nothing about that, you need to look it up. Them folks know how to get to the throne fast. And my friend, he began to pray. And I think he might have started in tongues. I don't know. He started praying. And we prayed. And so then I prayed. And we prayed. And we prayed. And when we finished praying, it was about 30 minutes later, and it was just the presence of God just to fill my apartment, 9 o'clock on a Thursday night. And I don't know, we didn't plan for this to happen, and we just started talking about the love of God, talking about the love of God, talking about the love of God. And then we said, what if we do this every Thursday night? We come together, watch a movie. I was getting my hair braided. This is before I went natural. I would get my hair braided on Thursdays, get ready, get fresh for the weekend, and then we would pray at 9 o'clock, and then we would go to IHOP at 12 to break the fast. That was the pattern. And then we said, what if we do this every Thursday? From that, an entire ministry was birthed, and I looked up 3 or 4 or 5 weeks later, and there was 30 people in my apartment praying at 9 o'clock, talking about the goodness of Jesus and going to IHOP. We would be in IHOP like it was the club, I'm telling you, because everybody was just trying to follow Jesus. People still get dressed up to come to Bible study. They're out there stunting and everything. What's up, man? You know what I'm saying? I just came in to see what God's doing. You know, it's good. You know what I mean? Right, and so people would come in, man. We were in IHOP at like 12 and 1 o'clock in the morning, and people would come in, they'd be drunk. And man, what y'all doing up in here, right? And we was like, man, we just loving Jesus, man. You can't love Jesus this late. I said, when Jesus go to sleep? You're right, he don't sleep or slumber. I was raised a church player, like people, like that was happening, But the plan was never to start a ministry. The plan was to love Jesus. Daniel's plan was not to meet Nyla and Simba in the pit. His plan was to just love the Lord God. And what I'm saying is, when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, God will open up doors that no man can close. And even when a man closes the door, God will still find a way to kick that sucker open. When we look at who God is, it should draw us closer to him. Now, let me just talk about Darius real quick, because Darius, when he heard about what was happening with Daniel, Darius was sad. He tried to figure out a way to get Daniel out, like not to have to go to the lion's den. And Darius like, oh my gosh, I messed up. So Darius says to Daniel, I got to put you in here. And he's lowering Daniel down into the lion's den. He says, Daniel, may the God whom you serve, may he rescue you. This is contagious faith now. He didn't say the God I serve, but Daniel, the God you serve, is he real? Is he able? And does he care? That's what Darius was asking. And so Darius goes back to his room that night. Daniel is in the lion's den, and the lion's going to Daniel fast. And so Daniel is in there chilling. He's looking at Scar like, man, Scar, you need to put some Neosporin on that thing, man. Get yourself together. And so Daniel's in the lion's den. He's chilling. Darius is worried. I think that's a picture of the one who trusts in the Lord and the one who does not. You could be in a worse situation, but still in peace. Come on, somebody. What was meant to take you out becomes a resting place for you. In other words, you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but you don't have to fear the evil because you know he is with you. Daniel is in there chilling. Darius is worried. Some of us are living worried lives because we have those same three questions. Is he real? Is he able? And does he care? So Darius wakes up. He runs to the lion's den, and he says, Daniel! Daniel! You know, you're real scared. Your voice gets, Daniel! And he says, and he asked the question. Look, family, I'm telling y'all, as I was reading this is the part that really got me. He asked the question, verse 20. Has your God, whom you continually serve, talked about Daniel's devotion, you continually serve him. He's your God. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. Here's the thing. Any other king would have been disrespected by this. Because by Daniel praying to God, he let Darius know that Darius is not number one in his heart. Any other king would have rejoiced that he was being punished. But Darius saw something else on Daniel. He was distinguished by an excellent spirit, so he asked the question, Daniel, has the God whom you continually serve, has he been able to deliver you from the lions? We got to ask this question in the context. The stone rolls away, and there are lions in the pit. And Darius looks with utter terror, because if he looks down and God was not able, he's going to see a man torn from limb to limb and consumed. Daniel, has the God whom you serve continuously, has he been able to deliver you? How many of y'all seen the movie Black Panther? Amen. You remember the scene when, if you ain't seen it, I don't want to mess it. If you ain't seen it yet, you don't want to see it. The scene when T'Challa hits the scene again, and he says, the battle's not over. I love that moment. He steps up. I got hype. I stood up in the movie. Let's go, T'Challa, Wakanda forever. Right? But when he stood up, there was a level of saying, oh, you thought you had me. No, you don't. And Daniel had that swag. He stood up. He says, oh, King Darius, chill out, player. My God sent his angel to shut the mouth of the lions. Yeah. And then Darius pulls him out, rejoices, and then rewrites the law and says, everybody must serve the God of Daniel. When you walk with God, people might not know God for themselves yet, but they'll know the God of Chris. They'll know the God of every nation. They'll know the God of whoever your name is, because they see God through you. And Darius, in this moment, he recognizes, Daniel, the God whom you serve, he is real. He is able, and he cares. You don't believe me? Let me tell you what Darius said for himself in Daniel chapter 6. In verse 26, he says, matter of fact, verse 25, then King Darius wrote to those of every people and every nation and language who live on the whole earth, may your prosperity abound. I issue a decree that in my royal dominion, people must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. You know you're a bad man when you cause the whole law to be changed. And then this is what Darius gives, some of the most profound theological exhortation you can hear in the Bible. He says, for he, talking about this, talking about Daniel's God, he is the living God. Is our God real? Yes, he is. For he endures forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed. Our God reigns, and his dominion has no end. And verse 27, he rescues and delivers. He performs signs and wonders. Our God is real. Amen. Our God reigns. Amen. And our God rescues. When you understand who God is, you'll have more confidence no matter what you face. And I can't help but read this story and think about another man who was devoted and despised. And when they rolled a stone over him after they put him in a pit, he was Mary's baby and the carpenter's son. They nailed him to a cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And when they took him off that cross, they threw him in a pit with some lions called death, hell, and sin. But the power of God, the same power of God that shut the lion's mouth, is the same power that shut all of their mouths. And then Jesus stood up and said, oh, grave, where's thy stench? Oh, death, where's thy sting? Thanks be unto God who gives us victory in all these things. And so when Jesus rose, he was given a name that changed the law. He was given a name that was above every name. And at the mention of his name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, on the earth and under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to help somebody this morning. Your time in the pit was designed by God to reveal his power. Don't avoid the pit. You'll appreciate his power. Not only that, some of you all, you have been thrown in that lion's den, but God is shutting the mouth of divorce. He's shutting the mouth of disease. He's shutting the mouth of distress. He's shutting the mouth of depression. He's shutting the mouth of all the things that the enemy has thrown against you, and the promise is yours. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. What then shall you say to these things? That if God is for me, then who can be against me? If God can shut the mouth of the lion, if God can shut the mouth of sin and Satan, he can shut the mouth of anything that forms against you as well. So I got an answer for Darius's question. Is my God real? Yes, he is. Is my God able? Yes, he is. Is my God, can my God rescue? Yes, he can. And that's the God we serve. Can y'all give the Lord Jesus Christ a hand clap of praise in this place? Come on, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up. Come on, let us celebrate our Lord in this place. Come on, he's worthy to be praised. Come on, I dare somebody not to worry about who's beside you, but worship the God that's above you. Hallelujah unto the living God, to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. Come on, we worship him in this place. Come on, we give him the fruit of our lips in this place. Hallelujah unto his name. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. God, we thank you for your presence and your power in this place. God, I believe today that someone came in with those same questions. Are you real? Are you able? And do you care? Lord, I pray that they see a testament of your presence, a testament of your power today. Not only will they wonder, but God, may you move in their heart, move in their hearts and their minds, that they would know that you are real. You have protected them from dangers seen and unseen. As you protected Daniel, you've protected us. Maybe it wasn't physical lions, but maybe it was people that were lying. Maybe it was people who said they would love us, and they lied on us and left us. Lord, but you still kept us. Lord, I pray now, God, for those that are in a pit right now. They're in a pit of despair. They're in a pit of distress. They're in a pit of fear. They just got a bad doctor's report. And they're wondering, are you real? Are you able and do you care? Someone just got some papers that's saying that their life as they know it just changed. And they're wondering, are you real? Are you able? And do you care? Somebody's child is sick and they're wondering the same questions. Somebody's soul is lost and they're living in fear. And they're wondering those same questions. Lord, I pray now, God, that you will invade their consciousness, invade their soul, and invade their spirit, that they would know that you are right there with them, that you have promised us that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And God, may someone in this place that may be like Darius, they've been trying to figure things out, may they know now that you are the true and living God. That they won't turn to anything else or anyone else. God, I pray for those that are like Daniel in the room, facing oppression, persecution. May we stay devoted to you. And God, I just ask that you be who you are continuously in our lives. Lord, we honor your presence and your power. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.